Are you prepared to write the final chapter of your life?
We'll show you why you should be and help you get started today on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. During today's episode, we are discussing why you should be prepared to write the final chapter of your life and how you can get started today with advanced care planning.
Often, we go through life thinking that tomorrow will be there. However, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." So we really don't know what will happen tomorrow. On today's program, Carolina Ramirez, a social worker, joins us to discuss advanced care planning. Carolina, thank you for coming and welcome.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting that we shared that text because my grandmother, who lived until she was almost 100, 2 weeks shy of her 100th birthday, the night before she passed, I said to her, "You sound so good." I said, "It sounds like you're gonna live, you know, really long." And she said to me, she said, "Tomorrow is not promised to anyone." Yes. And I just really appreciate how she approached life and death, mm-hmm. knowing that she was dying in Christ. So talk to us a little bit about why this is important and why families should really think about this advanced care planning and what it entails.
Absolutely. It is refreshing to hear that there are family members who do talk about this, because reality of life is illness will happen, accidents will happen, and we will never be able to determine exactly what the result of an accident or an illness will be. So when we talk about advanced care planning, what we are doing is informing our families what I would like to see happening in my medical care if I am unable to speak for myself. And this gives the family an opportunity to be prepared for that which we really do not wish to think about.
You know, it's really difficult to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And most families find it uncomfortable, and many of them just keep putting it off, and they never get to it. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us how we can start these conversations in a way that is non-threatening and will engage people and really give them an opportunity to want to talk about it?
Excellent question. The first step truly is to remember that this is important and to give it the importance it deserves. Once we acknowledge that even though it will be an uncomfortable topic, this will set up a better relationship with my family, then I will feel more comfort in this conversation. And the second part of this is to really try to be as practical as possible about it. And oftentimes I discuss with people that we don't have to have a serious prep time for this. We could use different triggers that are taking place around us, situational triggers. For example, somebody may be watching Real Family Talk and say, "I would like to talk about this with you." Or perhaps we unfortunately recently attended a funeral, or we heard a sermon about a topic. And these are different ways in which we can approach this without having the feeling of dread or concern behind it.
So I'm hearing you say triggers and appropriate moments, mm-hmm. and transitional moments. I like that you said they might be watching Real Family Talk. We're hoping that everyone is watching Real Family Talk.
Yeah, and that they will get something from this. Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying too, though, is that it really should be on us to take that initiative. Because now we've also been in situations.
What do you mean when you say on us?
On the person, you know, like for me, or us to say to our children, this is what we would like. This is what we've put in place.
Yes.
But we've also seen situations where there's an aging parent and the parent hasn't said anything, and then the children are afraid, mm-hmm. who are not children, they're adults, grown adults, yeah. mm-hmm. but they're afraid to approach that person because they think, well, maybe mom will think we're trying to get her to die. So what does someone do in a situation like that, especially if this parent is pretty sick mm-hmm. and you're not sure when their life might expire?
I always recommend to start by sharing openly what those triggers mean to me. Mm. Whether I am the adult child, a grandchild, or the person who is thinking about my own future. And the I statements that we are all very familiar with certainly apply here. Mom, I was having a conversation with my coworker whose mom was very ill. And I thought I would feel very sad. And I don't know what I would do if you were in that situation. Mm-hmm. Would you tell me? It's a great way to get started.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's one of the best I've heard.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember a few years ago we were traveling mm-hmm. and I got stuck in a middle seat. Oh. And I think you were somewhere behind me and there was this physician next to me mm-hmm. and he was intent on having a conversation with me. Oh. And this the first time I'd heard of this. This was about 15 years ago and he said he was a palliative care yes. physician mm-hmm. and I had never heard of that. And then he explained to me what it was. And so he said, do you have anyone in your life mm-hmm. who is, close up in years that you should be having these yes. conversations? So he also inspired me in that way to start having some of these conversations with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, my aunts who were taking care of my grandmother, mm-hmm. they heard me one day asking my grandmother some questions. Just tell me, what would you like at the end of life? Mm-hmm. And they were saying, why are you asking our mother that? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. So you've shared with us some tools, some forms that families can use. And in the next segment, we'll talk more about that. So stay with us when we'll talk more with Carolina about planning your final chapter.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're discussing how we can prepare for the unexpected and the value of beginning this conversation now.
We're talking with social worker Carolina Ramirez. Carolina, thank you again for being here. And so before the break, we mentioned that you would share with us some tools that families can access and that they should really be using as they prepare for this. Tell us a little bit more about the advance directive, because we hear a lot of that. Every time you go to the hospital, they say, do you have an advance directive? So tell us a little bit more about what that is.
Absolutely. An advance directive is a legal document. And in this document, I am able to indicate specific medical wishes that I would like to incorporate into any end of life care. Or perhaps I have a life-threatening situation, and in this document, I am able to indicate what medical interventions are acceptable for me based on my values and my wishes. This document would go into effect only if I am unable to speak for myself, and it is very, very valuable to medical providers, but also to my family members. It's basically a written health plan.
Okay, now there is another document, mm-hmm. and that is the living will. Mm. Tell us about the living will and how it's different than the other one.
Wonderful. The advance directive is actually, we can call it an umbrella document. It incorporates a living will. Okay. It actually generally has two parts. One of them is the document that allows me to name a healthcare power of attorney. The second part tends to be this living will.
Tell us more about the living will. Exactly what is that? Because we know there's a will. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a regular will and a living will?
The living will specifically focuses on medical questions. And so it depends on which form is used. And there are many forms throughout the United States, oftentimes particular states will present their own form. However, a number of these documents do cross state lines. And these documents have a specific section where it may indicate if this scenario, fill in the blank, were to happen to you, and one of the most common ones is if you were in a persistent vegetative state, what kind of medical care is appropriate based on, again, your unique values? So the individual would say, I would prefer that my family not consider artificial hydration or nutrition. Or the opposite, I want my family to consider artificial hydration or nutrition. And there are other specifics, but that's a general example.
So basically you're saying a living will spell out no esoteric measures or prolong my life. Mm-hmm. So there is no question and there's no fighting among the siblings or the relatives. And because some may say, let's pull the plug, and someone would say, well, no, you know, why are we going to do that? We're not God or what have you. Allow the person, the mother, the father, the grandparent, to make that decision ahead of time, when they're in their right mind.
Well, certainly.
So that we know that we're following their will.
Absolutely.
So do hospitals ask for these forms? Because then how would the hospital know that you have this in place, that you have this advance directive, this living will?
Generally speaking, the advance directive should be completed, as was indicated, when someone does not have an urgent medical condition that they are thinking about. And this should be given to the primary care provider. Anytime I go and see my doctor, I should remember, did I do something and not give this document to my physician? If I have completed a new one, I should go ahead and provide it. That doctor tends to include those documents in the electronic medical record. Most physicians have a practice that extends to a hospital. And so in many circumstances, many situations, if an individual is hospitalized, their own physician is able to see them. Now, there are some exceptions. Therefore, one should always have an advance directive readily available. And my family should know where it is so that they can easily access it and bring it to the hospital if I am ever admitted.
So what I'm hearing you say is, one, your physician should have it. And so there's a place, and it's in the medical records. And these days it's electronic, so that if you have emergency a surgery or any procedure, it can easily be accessed. What I'm also hearing you say is that if you have an elective procedure, let's say, and it's not your physician who's doing it, because, you know, that's a general practitioner who's probably not going to do the surgery, but you have a specialist, they tend to ask, do you have any of these a living will or advanced directive or stuff like that? And then they can easily access it.
Correct.
But they can't access it if it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And that's why that's the operative word. Mm-hmm. How about making sure that you have it, since we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow?
That's right.
Let's prepare for it before it comes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to run out and go to my doctor's portal tonight. Because, you know, we've talked about this so often.
Yes.
And every time, like I said, we go to the, you know, to have even the simplest procedure, they'll ask, do you have an advance directive? And in fact, I think in the state of Maryland, I don't know if it's other states, they're required to do so, right? And they'll say, here's the information, and you can go fill out the form. So are there other things that people need?
Well, let's put them up on the screen.
Do you want to put them
up on the screen? Let's put them up on the screen one at a time. A living will and healthcare power of attorney. I think number one is saying our
legal
documents, a legal advanced care planning forms. That's number one. Number two, it costs nothing to create unless attorney or notary charges for services apply. Every state has unique documents. Carolina has already mentioned that, but they are generally accepted across state lines. Person needs capacity to originally execute the document, but it only goes into effect when the person loses the capacity or ability to communicate. We're just going over these to make sure you get them. You need a notary, a witness, and signature of person to make it legally binding. You do not need an attorney to create these.
That's good to know.
Photocopies may be honored, and it doesn't expire. So it's important that we have this information and that we have it readily available. And preferably, if it's in your doctor's office, it's a part of your medical records so that whenever you need it, it's available. Thank you so much for being with us during this segment. We will talk some more when we come back. Stay with us.
We're back on Real Family Talk discussing the importance of having an advanced care plan, and social worker Carolina Ramirez is with us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Carolina, we were talking about the power of attorney during the break, and this could be a little murky, so we want to clarify it for our viewing audience. Can you tell us about it and some of the specifics that we need to be mindful of?
Yes. So an advance directive includes the document section that allows me to name one or more individuals who would speak on my behalf if I were unable to do so. It is important for your viewers to know that the individuals named do not have to be family members. It could be someone that I trust, and it could be my neighbor, or it could be someone from my church. Anyone whom I know will follow my wishes.
Okay.
I have worked with some families who specifically have chosen to name one or more people who are not in their immediate family exactly for those reasons.
Because many times family members tend to be emotional about these things, and so you want someone who's going to be a little bit more objective?
Correct.
Okay. You were also saying something about it doesn't need an attorney. Correct. Did you say that?
Yes. So an attorney is not needed in order to make this a legal document, nor is a notary in some states. So it is important to check in your state what are the requirements. In the state of Maryland, for example, two witnesses that would sign at the time that I signed the document is all I need to make this a legal document. In other states, however, a notary's signature is required. So it's important to know, maybe I spend a lot of time in a state outside of my regular residence. What could be their requirements? So I may prepare for that as well.
Okay.
Right. So
I wanted to just follow up, and that is, okay, so you don't need an attorney. You don't even need a notary in some places. Where do you go to find this form or some template so that you know exactly what to say?
Yes, there are many templates out there. And I would suggest first check your state website for the Attorney General. Or you could simply go to any search engine and type in advance directive and your state's name.
Okay.
The other, there are other forms that are very helpful. There is a website called prepareforyourcare.org, and you can download different forms for your state. It's a wonderful website. There are other forms. Five Wishes is a very well-known document. So there are different options. You can look at all of them and find the one that fits your needs best.
Okay. I heard you say prepareforyourcare.org. And I'm just repeating that just in case someone wants to get a hold of that. Yeah. Prepareforyourcare.org.
We'll
no spaces, I guess?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll put these up afterwards so people have this information.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we want to touch a little bit on some of the, let's say, cultural issues. Mm-hmm. Because I think for some families, talking about death is taboo. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just such a big fear about talking about death. Mm-hmm. So, again, how do you work with families to help them to overcome some of these barriers?
Mm-hmm. It goes back to experiences. And we return to this idea that when I begin by being open and sharing my true concerns, our heart opens as well. And this is a heart conversation.
It is.
Oftentimes we frame it in the context of fear or perhaps even resentment. Some people have that.
Yeah.
However, when we start to shift the conversation to one of a loving context, all of a sudden the same words sound different. So when I approach my loved one and I say, I worry that we have not talked about such an important thing. And I know that difficult things happen in life.
Unexpected.
Things happen in life. All of a sudden, truly, the mental shift mm-hmm. takes place, and so do the uncertain moments. They shift to a more loving, caring, open conversation.
I think that's so important, and I'm so happy that you're shifting, reframing how we approach it. You know, approaching it more from a standpoint of love and caring
concern.
And
mm-hmm.
concern, yep. as opposed to I want to get at your money. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I think would be interesting, when you mentioned that it could be someone other than a family member, that could also create problems in the family. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be important to explain the difference between this power of attorney, mm-hmm. that this is specifically for health decisions, right? Not who's going to get the house, the car, and the investments or whatever money is there, right?
You are correct. This is all related to medical care. That's it. And we often, I engage in these conversations with families. And when someone says, my loved one, I don't want you to speak for me, you most certainly see the change in demeanor mm-hmm. and the questions that you can almost read. And I take that moment and say, what are you thinking? Mm. And then we can actually start to speak truly, honestly, because oftentimes our patients, the individual will say, I am thinking that this is going to be much too difficult for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What a different conversation we will have now.
Right, right.
So basically we're trying to make something difficult a lot easier.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And let's face it, these are important matters mm-hmm. and very difficult, yeah. but the more we acquaint ourselves with them, and the more we talk about them and perhaps even read about them, mm-hmm. the easier they become.
Yes.
After all, what we're looking for is less trauma for the family and for the situation and for the mm-hmm. circumstance, so that when we get to these places, unexpected places, we're able to survive.
Most certainly.
Well, it's so great to have you, Carolina, with us today. And thank you so much for all that you've shared. I'm sure families will be blessed. As you think about the final chapter of your life on this earth, we encourage you to stay hopeful. Remember, Jesus promised in John 11:25 that he is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him, though he may die, he shall live again. Eternal life awaits us. Don't forget to prepare.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.